Welcome to the St. George's Leeds podcast. Sharing life, loving Leeds.
My name is Eve, and I'm the Associate Rector here at St. George's. And now we're going to have some time before we finish looking at a passage from the Bible, thinking about what that means for our lives, and thinking about how we might respond to the invitation of God this evening. So I'm going to talk a little bit, and we're going to hear from the Bible in just a moment. And I wonder what you expected when you came to church this evening, whether you're a regular member and this is your home church, whether you're returning after a little while, or whether this is your first time in a church building. Over the years, being a Christian and having chatted to friends and strangers, both before I was ordained in the church and after, when I say I'm a Christian or I'm a vicar, I get a variety of responses. Sometimes people say, oh, you must be a very good person. And for those who know me, no, that's not true. I'm a normal person. But they assume if you're a Christian, you must be particularly pious or devout or have already got things sorted out. Or I used to work in a church building that was quite like a cathedral, open all week long. And if you talked about coming into church, maybe to light a candle or to come to a service, one person said to me, oh, I'd catch fire if I walked into the church, thinking that God was waiting to smite them or put them down as soon as they entered the building. And you might assume that to be going to church, you've got to be a certain type of person or with a certain background. But we've already heard some real stories about how that isn't the case. So in a few moments of just quiet, because we've just been chatting, think about what were you expecting when you came this evening? Just in 10 seconds of quiet, bring that to mind. What were you expecting? And I invite you to keep those things in your mind as we journey through this passage and see if tonight and our experience tonight changes those expectations. We're going to look at a Bible passage in a moment from the Gospel of John, John chapter 8. And we'll look a bit about what that means and the context of that to find out what God might want to say to us. And the Gospel of John is one of the four Gospels in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, and they are ancient biographies of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. They are also reliable historic texts, and that's something that the Alpha Sessions look at. So they're historical texts, but they're written with purpose. At various points, John, the author of the Gospel, in his Gospel, says that he is writing that people might come to a decision about who Jesus is. And that there were many, many things in Jesus' life that John could have written about, but he's chosen the few that he has in his biography so that people can decide for themselves that Jesus is the Son of God. So a gospel is a really good thing to read if you're thinking about these big questions of life. And there's lots of imagery in John, light and darkness, pictures of food and provision, imagery of God as a shepherd and other forms of protection and relationship. So we're going to hear this passage in John, and it's based around when Jesus was talking to some Jews who already believed in him around the time of a special Jewish festival. And so we're going to hear the passage and then think a bit about it, and Emmanuel is going to come and read the Bible passage for us. Thank you.
Our Bible reading is taken from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 to 42. John 8, 31 to 42. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, Truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. The word of God.
Thank you. Thank you, Emmanuel. So in this Bible passage, in chapter 8, we find ourselves in a bigger story that runs between chapters 7 and 8 of this book. And the backdrop that we're in is a Jewish festival in Jerusalem called the Festival of Booths. Do you want to say that? The Festival of Booths. Satisfying to say, isn't it? And this was a Jewish festival. Jesus was a Jew and he would have known about this festival. It was a harvest celebration that remembered God's protection and accompaniment of the Jews on the wilderness journey from slavery in Egypt into freedom into the promised land, which we read about in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. And it came from the laws that God gave his people to remember God's protection. And we read about that in the book of Leviticus. God said, live in temporary shelters for 7 days to remember that I had the Israelite people do the same when they were journeying through the wilderness. I am the Lord your God. So when the Jewish people were taking part in this festival based around the temple, they would construct booths or little tents and draw water from a special pool and light candles to remember this journey. So it was a very visual festival and tactile festival. So I have a few tents down here. I need probably 3 people to run maybe from where you are to come forward and to construct a temporary tent along here to remember the Festival of Booths. Who wants to help me? Go, come, yep, you don't have to wait. Come now, quick as you like. I need two more people, come on. Someone over here. I'll go. Yep, great. So just pop them up, they're just pop-up tents, up here, along here. Beautiful, beautiful. Just up here. Brilliant. There's a couple, there's a tube as well, like a thing you can go through. Thank you so much, you can sit down. I just didn't want to do it myself. Thank you. So all around Jerusalem, there would have been these temporary dwellings, and the Jews would have been remembering the protection of God in their history. Thank you, Tim. And the phrase, the Jews, in this passage is about the particular Jews that were opposing Jesus. We don't need to read it as referring to all Jewish people in the days of Jesus or all Jewish people now. It's used by John in a specific way about those who didn't understand who Jesus was. So we see here the idea of God dwelling with his people, protecting his people. And so that idea of dwelling is really important because Jesus comes into this festival and says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, my followers. And that word that he says, hold on to or continue, is the same word, the dwell word. If you dwell and abide in my teaching, you are really my followers. Into this story, he comes and says that he is the embodiment of this festival. He is the one that brings God's presence to God's people, which is a bold claim. He also makes other claims in John that relate to what was seen around him, like saying that he was the light of the world, that he was the bread that would feed God's people. So he says, if you dwell in his word, you are his follower or apprentice. And that by doing that, by dwelling with Jesus, you will know the truth. And it's the truth that sets you free. And the Jews in this passage think they're already free because they are descended from Abraham, from the Jewish fathers. They think they have that heritage that guarantees them a place with God. They say, we've never been slaves, even though they were slaves to Egypt and they were currently under Roman occupation. But Jesus says, no, you were slaves because you were slaves to sin. When we mess up, when we disobey God, when we go our own way, we become enslaved to sin, to messing up. And that means that just like in the household that they would have set up in Jesus' day, those who were slaves did not have a permanent place in the home. They could not remain there indefinitely. But those who were biological children, and especially the son, the firstborn, had an automatic place for their lifetime. And the biological child had authority to speak on behalf of their parents. So in this passage, we see that being part of the right heritage didn't necessarily mean that you had a get out for living as God wanted you to live. And the believers in Jesus, he says, get from him the power to become children of God because Jesus grants freedom from sin. We heard all about it in the words we use in baptism, that Jesus died on the cross for us to bring forgiveness and rose to new life to bring us new life, defeating death and sin. And we see people going down, dying to their own agenda, their own selfishness, and rising to new life out of the water, washed in God's grace. And it's that forgiveness and rising again, trusting in what Jesus has done, that means that Jesus bestows on us, gives us the same status as a child of God that he has himself. He takes us into being children of God. And he gives us a permanent place in the household of God, free from sin, free from the consequences of sin, death itself. But that freedom isn't just for us to then do what we like. It's to bless the world, to serve others, to be part of his church. And if you want to hear more about that freedom, there's a talk 2 weeks ago. I happened to preach it, but it would have been great anyway. 2 weeks ago on freedom that you can listen to on the podcast online. Our freedom is meant to be an intimate relationship with God of love, to bless the world. But Jesus also says, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. But he says, the truth sets you free. So that means that the Son, Jesus, is the truth. That the truth in our world isn't just a head knowledge thing of knowing certain facts, knowing how the world works, but the truth is a person, God himself, come to dwell with us. And we stay in that relationship by being baptized and continuing to get to know Jesus all our life within the family of the church. And you might have heard some of the dwelling language in the first bit of John's Gospel if you've been particularly to church at Christmas time, where you might hear from the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word, The Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. In other translations, we read that Jesus, the Word, made his home among us, or the Word became flesh and blood and moved in to the neighborhood. But the group in the passage didn't realize that the presence of God was in right in front of them in the flesh. So I don't know what you thought about when you thought about your expectations of church or expectations of who might be here today. But the wonderful truth is that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what kind of dysfunctional family you've come from, or if you've come from a fairly functional family, although most have some dysfunction in them. It doesn't matter what grades you got at school, what qualifications you have or don't have. It doesn't matter how much you've got in the bank. It doesn't matter what you've done, how you've messed up. And there are consequences to that. But our mess doesn't disqualify us from being able to belong to God, because we do that in the person of Jesus. It's a bit like, I don't know if you've seen the film Downton Abbey. Anyone seen the series Downton Abbey? There's a big house. And at one point in the last series, it's about a big house, isn't it? The one point in the last series, which is the only one I've watched in preparation for the film, they open the house for the first time to the public. And you have to have a ticket. You cannot get into the house unless you have a ticket. But if someone like Sybil, the girl who is an heir of the Downton household, if she walked out into the queue and said, I want this person to come in and eat with me and share today, they could take them by the hand and walk straight in, because it's the person that you know to bring you in to the household. Sybil would have the right to take you on the full tour because of who you know. So we can belong to God, but the only qualifier is this trusting in Jesus, the one who was sent from God and sets us free. We trust his death, his resurrection, and we ask the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And this happened for me when I was in my late teens. A bit like Maria, I believed in God a long time, but I hadn't experienced God's love. And over time, in a particular group in a church, they told me about it, but we prayed, we listened to God, we sang, and I began to see the reality of who Jesus was in my life. And I wonder, when you come today and gather, what do you want from God today? We're going to pray in a little bit, and I invite you to think about that as we come before God. And once we belong to Jesus, if we trust in him, we belong to the church. And the church is made up of those who've realized their need of God, their need for freedom from sin found in Jesus. And in the church, we belong to one another. It gives me such joy to be part of the global church family and a local one. As you've seen today, the people who were baptized today, if not for Jesus, might not never meet, might not never have a reason to care for one another, to pray for one another, to see the gifts that God has put in the other and encourage them. We are related to one another, not because we have the same mum or dad, or we're related in law through a marriage, but through Jesus. Through Jesus, we are adopted back, if you like, into God's family, and we become heirs and get access to everything that God has for us in his kingdom. Peace and joy and love and justice and mercy. And the church isn't made up of perfect people. It's just people that trust in Jesus. And we find ourselves in this new family. And God has enough love for every one of his children as if we were each the favorite child. God's love won't run out. He has no preference. There's no competition. God has more than enough love for every person. And then he pours out his spirit on the church so that God now dwells in all of us. So if I just started to give, I'm not sure I'm going to do this. If I give this tent to you, and you might just want to pass it over yourselves to the back. It's a bit fun, isn't it? And over here. Now the Holy Spirit is in every person that loves and trusts in Jesus. Do you want one? So now, look where the presence of God is. The presence of God is throughout this building. Do you want to just pass one around? Wonderful. You can pop it on the floor at some point when you like. Brilliant. The presence of God goes throughout the world in God's people. So having thought about that passage, we're going to think about our response now. And I invite you, if you're able, to stand together. And we're going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, to speak to us, to encourage us, to fill us. We're going to have a time of quiet. And just think, what do you want God to do for you? You might find it helpful to offer your hands out as if to receive a gift. So we pray, come Holy Spirit. We thank you that you dwell inside us. And we ask now for more of your presence here with us.
Thank you for listening to the St. George's Leeds podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.